Welcome to the Ted Brower Show with your host, Ted Brower. I'm with Austin Brower, my one and only, well, I have two sons, my one and only son that runs Health Masters. Hey, Austin, good to have you with me today.
Hey, bud. Good to be here.
I was looking at the world news last night, and it's kind of interesting. Reuters came out with a title that says China's shares plunged more than 6% yesterday to 14-month lows on Tuesday after oil prices dropped again, reviving concerns about global growth and prompting a sell-off in the world's equity markets, battered by late-selling frenzy. The benchmark Shanghai Composite Index ended down 6.4%. This is getting really interesting now, and of course our plunge protection team was back in full force today because they didn't want us to follow another suit with China's drop last night, and our Dow's actually up today, so I find that fascinating. I keep wondering where that $19 trillion went that Bernanke wouldn't talk about, so I guess we know where it's going, Austin. It's going into their interlocking corporate directorships and all of the different companies they're buying, so it's been interesting. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, there's definitely no doubt about it. I mean, the whole thing's manipulated. We've discussed it numerous times. Gold and silver have done the same thing. They go up a little bit, and they immediately short them and push them back down, and then they go back up, and they're staying right, pretty much right about where they want them to go. They really don't seem to be able to manipulate them much further down without a lot of exposure of really true manipulation, because everybody knows, like I said before, once silver starts pushing below 14, 15 an ounce, they know that it's costing more than that to mine it. So at that point, it's clear evidence that it's just full-blown manipulation in the paper market. That's why I think they're trying to keep it right around this area to try and give the facade that it's not being manipulated, but everybody on the outside that is following any of this or listens to us knows this entire market is not what it seems.
Oh, no, it's not. And all this is, I mean, I know Lockheed Martin now has been bought up and is being an acquisition here in Orlando. They're projecting a bunch of layoffs with them, and we have one of our relatives actually works over there. And it's sad because all of this stuff is happening on and on and on. And somebody once said to me, they said, why in the world is this happening all the time? And I said, well, because the world government, the people that run the thing, are just diabolical, evil rulers. They're just really, really bad people. And they want to just destroy the entire planet to the best of their ability and recreate it in their own image of just complete and total chaos. You know, out of order will come chaos is the mantra. And this is what they want to do. They want to destroy us, destroy God's creation, to turn it all upside down. You know, see, that's why Christians are different. I'm gonna just talk to you guys for just a second about Christians. You know, what we have to realize is this. You know, we've been told that we're supposed to walk in love. Well, that changes everything. When the Bible tells us that we're to forgive one another and that God forgives us as far as the east is from the west, and that we're to have no record of wrong, and that we're continually supposed to just walk in love and faithfulness all the days of our life, and forgive people when they despitefully use you and do horrible things to you and say things about you, it means that we're Christians. The Muslims don't do that. They like to run around and groping people and do weird things, and they're just, some of them are pretty much filthy animals, and they do horrible stuff. Let me give you an example. Now, in Norway again, gangs of all-male Moroccan migrant children, and these are, of course, children up to 17 years of age, which to me is like Trayvon Martin. They're not much of a child. Take over Stockholm train stations. They steal, they grope, and they beat women. I mean, this is crazy. On Sunday, we learned that despite the best efforts of German cartoonists, some refugees are still having a hard time understanding how to behave at public pools and in public areas. And see, Austin, it's back to what we've been raised as. And when we understand that we as Christians in the United States were the ones that started this country with the Puritans and the Mayflower and the Pilgrims and everybody first, and we had a European work ethic that was brought over, and that people had to work to eat and work to survive and basically had to, you know, grow crops and do what they needed to do, and so many of them died that first year. It was crazy. But we finally began to realize that the United States was built by folks who wanted a new life, who wanted to have another way of living, another way of being able to worship God as Christians, not being persecuted by the Church of England and by the Catholic Church. And that's what happened back in 1492, in the 1500s, and the 1600s. And finally, by the 1700s, you know, we had developed a pretty good colony over here with England, and we finally had enough of the tyranny that was had beset upon us from England, and we said no more. And that was that one. That's when the great experiment of the United States was set upon the continent here, and we basically now are coming to the over 200 years of that great experiment. The problem is the experiment is starting to get cracks in it, and some serious cracks. An article just came out and said that no matter what happens, that the Bilderberger Group, Austin, has decided that Hillary Clinton is going to win this election. They have given her the go-ahead, and it doesn't matter what Trump does. It makes no difference at all that by hook or by crook, they're going to make sure that she wins. What do you think about that, Oz?
I saw that same article, too. I thought it was rather disturbing, the fact that they're already telling you what they're going to do, even though her numbers have been plummeting. I mean, you know, Bernie's been going higher than her in a lot of states. I mean, Trump's soaring in the Republican area. And now they're stating that it doesn't matter what happens, she's going to get it. It just shows you the absolute manipulation and how far, really how far they're willing to go, almost to the point now, though, that they're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're just out blatantly open about it. Like, I watched the X-Files, the first one, that video you sent me yesterday. I didn't watch the show. I watched the little six-minute review on it, and that was crazy. I mean, they flat-out brought everything up on that show. Now, I don't know if they were trying to do it as far as to let everybody know what they're doing, or if that wasn't supposed to. I don't even know, how they got that scripted and got that on
mainstream TV. That's what the producer said. He said he thought, because they were telling all that stuff, he thought the FBI was going to shut it down. It could be another psychops too, Austin, because now whenever somebody says that kind of stuff and, you know, and they believe it, oh, you're watching X-Files, that nonsense, that whole show is a fiction show. It could be just another psychops for that too.
That's the same thing I was thinking when I watched it today. I was like, you know what, now the X-Files has always been, you know, UFOs, you know, aliens, all this stuff, and some of the old stuff was actually pretty cool. But now, exactly right, now they're bringing up all the specific stuff, even the geoengineering and the aerosol spraying, they brought that up in there. So now it seemed to me, personally, what they're trying to do is they're using that now as basically the new conspiracy theory term. So now when somebody brings something up that, you know, you've seen that, or you bring that up in reference, people are going to go, oh, yeah, that's that X-Files show again. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that's a pretty crazy show. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it definitely seems to me like they're trying to I don't see for any legitimate reason how they could have got that on mainstream TV and not been using it as some type of psych-off.
I agree. In fact, that could be what this is. It was Martin Sorrell. He's a CEO. He's the one who suggested the outcome of the 2016 presidential election has already been decided, remarking, it doesn't matter who the Republicans put up, Hillary will win. And he says at the very end, he says it's because the Bilderberger group has already decided that she is going to win. And he says, as we previously reported, the powerful Bilderberger group, which counts Ferguson and Sorrell as two of its regular attendees, backed Hillary to become president at its annual meeting in June last year. Now, sad part about this is, I really hope they're wrong. I mean, gosh almighty. I mean, the problem is with the Diebold election machines and with all the duplicate counting and the fake counting and everything else, Austin, unless we can have some type of exit polls reestablished at these larger precincts in these major cities and these major country, major counties in these major, you know, states, they could actually pull this thing off again, and she could actually win this election with the Electoral College process by just cheating again, which is what I guess they do. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Quite frankly, I don't even know how she hasn't been indicted on multiple charges yet. I mean, you saw that 13 Hours movie the other weekend, so did I. And the fact, when you see that and you see how the U.S. military handled that as far as the orders that they got and basically what Hillary Clinton was doing, when you look at the entire backstory and you find out that they were using that entire area over there and that basically black ops CIA location to run weapons and heavy weapons, not just machine guns, heavy weapons, artillery, anti-aircraft stuff to the militias there to try and overthrow Gaddafi. The whole thing's just crazy. I mean, when you realize that what she was involved in with there and she hasn't been indicted yet, it's almost a joke. That movie was so intense, but it was really, really, really accurate if you look at the background and how everything played out.
Dave Hodges told me because of that there was almost a coup d'etat by the military. I mean, they almost took over Washington, and that's one of the reasons that Dave Hodges says that there were so many people that were purged out of the military immediately following Benghazi, because they said that these generals and these admirals, they'd had enough. The German word is genug, which means enough. They'd had genug of all of it, and they were going to take over the Washington D.C. because we had a traitor in the White House because of what just happened and how these boys died. I mean, they were begging on the radio to get help, begging on the radio to get help. And then the one lady operative finally says, look, if you don't do something, we're all going to die. Don't even come over here and shoot anybody. Just fly some F-16s, F-18s off these carriers. They're 20 minutes away. Circle us for a little while. Let them know what's fixing to come. Send, you know, just don't, you don't have to shoot anybody. Just do something. And they refused. They refused.
Yeah, and they had the F-16s on the ship, sitting there geared up, fueled up, ready to go, and they would not give them the go-ahead to launch.
And they, in fact, they had that
really quite bad.
They had that full troop transport helicopter wheel. It was already spooled up, props running, ready to lift off. 30, 40, 50 minutes out, wouldn't do it. Refused. They were going to drop in the paratroopers and bring them all in. Didn't matter. See, this is the problem that we have when we have a government that's been completely taken over by the globalists, and then we have criminal elements in the government that continue to run things and do things, and no matter what we say to them, they're going to do whatever they want to do. Because that's what it is. I have a good friend of mine who's visiting us today here at the house office. His name is John. And he was asking me, well, how do you deal with this? And I said, well, the only way I can deal with this is that I've got to know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I've got to know that because of my relationship with God, because I'm connected to God in His dimension through the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing they can do to me from a spiritual standpoint. Now, they can kill us all. They've proven they're capable of doing that. They've done it so many times. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference. They're not going to affect me for eternity. All we're doing is experiencing a physical existence in a spiritual, or our spiritual body, our spiritual nature is experiencing a physical existence in a skin suit right now for a very short period of time. So we can't allow ourselves to get down over this. We've got to stay up. We've got to realize these globalists are doing this to us, and we need to be rejoicing every single day, because this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It doesn't make any difference if it's raining or if they're doing something weird again. It makes no difference at all, because greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And if we understand that and we live by that belief and that statement every single day by those scriptures, and we understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that doesn't mean that things may not be maybe going on perfect in the world, but we just got to stand in faith, Austin, and that's the only way that I can deal with any of this stuff. So I got to realize that I know who my Redeemer is, and I know that I've been set free from all of this stuff, and I've got to continue to preach the truth, tell the truth, and preach the word, and hopefully some people get saved by it, and no matter what happens, I hope people get peace by it, because it doesn't matter what they do to our bodies. People have to understand that. Our spirits, if we're Christians, are already saved and have already been connected to God through the Holy Spirit. And that's the most important thing that we need to realize, is that we have to have hope in Christ Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart, we prayed the other day on the show, that God's going to turn His wrath from this nation. He's going to turn and heal us, and that there's enough of us that are praying the same thing, that we can postpone the inevitable book of Revelation from opening the books and for these seals being opened. I mean, speaking of the book of Revelation, I like this one. This is from Skywatch TV with Tom Horn, who's a friend of mine. He wrote in, the chief rabbi of Rome. I didn't know there was a rabbi in Rome. To Petrus Romanus, the current pope, he goes, we agree, okay, the Jews, apparently chief rabbi and the Petrus Romanus, the pope, has now agreed that Jews do not need Jesus to go to heaven. Well, I don't see that in the Bible, but that's what they're agreeing now. And we appreciate the Vatican's prohibition against trying to convert Jews through preaching the gospel. I didn't know we were supposed to be prohibited from doing that. I guess the Vatican's having fun with all the words now, changing the scripture again. But we'll need further concessions from the Vatican before we join you in the, quote, destiny of an end times global church. What the heck does that even mean? I mean, are you joking me? What kind of concessions is he talking about? That they're going to concede that the Jews were right and that Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God, which is complete heresy? I mean, what concessions could he possibly be wanting, Austin, before he decides to join him? You have any idea?
I have no idea. That whole statement's pretty bizarre to me. Sounds to me like he's trying to get as many people as he can to join into the one world government, one world religion fiasco at the end, like we've already talked about in Revelations. That's really the only thing that makes any sense to me. Now we hear about this nonsense they're coming out with this Christian Lam, which is the basically splicing of Islam and Christianity together, that the Pope already said is not an issue, that he believes that that's okay. Now the Jews don't have to believe in Christ to go to heaven. I mean, it's a further more manipulation and degrading of Christianity. That's what it is, and that's what they're trying to promote. That's the whole thing, is take the eyes off God Almighty and put them on something else, and something else is your Savior. That's what they're promoting, and that's what their whole agenda is.
Well, remember, that's the whole transhumanist agenda.
Yep.
They don't want us to believe in Jesus Christ anymore. See, this is why they're mixing all the cultures together. And I've mentioned this before on the show, and I feel it's something we need to mention again. This is why we're having forced immigration against all the wills. Germans don't want it. The Americans don't want it. The French don't want it. The Italians don't want it. The Spanish don't want it. Nobody wants it, okay? The only people that want it are the people who live in these hellhole third world countries who want to basically go up and get free stuff. And quite frankly, if I was living in one of those third world countries and I was born down there, and Germany throws up a big open door sign and says, come on up and get your free stuff, I would probably jump on a plane or a train or whatever I could to get there. I'll be honest with you, I probably would do that too. But the problem is, it's not about that. What it's about is destroying the very cultural fabric of Europe, the cultural fabric of the European community. I mean, Soros now, who's the one who pushed all of these immigrants and paid for a lot of them to go into the European Union, he's now saying that what we have here is a complete collapse that is occurring before our eyes of the European Union. And soon it will be the euro, and the European Union's currency is going to collapse. See, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, Austin, that we don't see in these black, smoky rooms full of these cigar guys with their pedophiles, right, you know? And so, and they're prostitutes. And the crazy thing about this is that they make all these behind-the-door scenes. It's kind of like, it's like this Trans-Pacific Partnership. The people in Congress who are allowed to read it can only read it with somebody standing over their shoulder. They're not allowed to make any copies of it. They can't keep it and take it with them and show to anybody else. And then they have to vote on it in its entirety. And the people in the United States don't even get to look at it. Because these globalist corporations have decided that they're going to bring in a one-world government, and a one-world corporation is what it's going to be. You don't have to really call it a government. It's just a one-world corporation that's being run by the globalists who run the Bilderberger groups, because they feel as though they're the smartest people on the block, and they should be able to do what they want to do whenever they want to do it to whoever they want to do it to, and they shouldn't have any repercussions. So once they make this global dictatorship through these corporations obvious, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do. And now, like we talked about yesterday, with Obama being given through the Senate, being ramrodded through the Senate, hopefully it does not pass, full war powers forever? Amen? I mean, are you kidding me? I warned everybody when we went into Iraq back in the early 2000s, I think it was 2001, 2002, I don't remember the exact day, and all my friends were, rah, rah, hoopla, we're going to take Saddam Hussein out. And I said, what did Saddam Hussein do? Oh, he's got weapons of mass destruction. I said, okay, so do we. So does Israel. So does China. So does Russia. So does England. Well, he shouldn't have them. Well, why should we have them? Well, he's not telling us where they are. Well, why do we? We don't tell them where our stuff is. I mean, why are we having the right to go in and invade a foreign country, put troops on the ground, overthrow their government, and set up a dictatorship, and put in a Rothschild-controlled central bank? We don't have the right to do that. We're doing it at the behest of our money masters, the Rothschild-controlled international banking community, that's decided how we're going to do it, because we've turned into a fiefdom of the Rothschild Bank, as Israel is, and that's what we are. And if we don't understand how unbelievable powerful the AIPAC is in Washington, how unbelievably involved the Mossad is with our CIA, we're whistling in the cemetery. We don't even see what's going on. The sad part about it is, unless we open our eyes and see the fact that they're putting us in a cage and they're closing the door, we're never going to believe they closed the door. We'll be just sitting around in the cage thinking it's okay. Hey, that's not okay for me, Austin. I know it's not okay for you, and I know it's not okay for the listeners. Because what we have to understand is this. If we allow them to continue to do this to us and not stand up against it, they're going to do this to us, and they're not going to have any resistance. And that's not okay. And what the biggest thing we had, and this is what the forefathers of our country did, they gave us our Second Amendment. And that Second Amendment is what has stopped the tyranny from completely taking over the United States already. And sadly, you know, King Obama is chipping away at that. And I hope and pray that that executive order that he has, that's being held together by the Constitution as far as being illegal, is going to be able to change all this. But I don't think the globalists have any idea, Austin, how powerful a sheet of paper was that Constitution was that gave us these rights, which basically made us free sovereigns equal to King George when they did it, and they allowed us to make our own decisions, and we weren't serfs any longer. And now the United States is losing those rights that were given to them by God. They're being usurped by this authority that's taking over the planet like a giant octopus squid, satanic octopus squid with all of its tentacles doing all of this mess. And I hope and I pray that, and oh, by the way, I talked to Pastor David Crank yesterday, and he's going to try to get, he told me he would ask him. He will ask Donald Trump to come on my show, Austin. I haven't told you that yet. He said he doesn't know if Donald will do it or not, and I also told him that if he didn't want to do my show because we didn't have enough audience yet, that I would do the best I could, and I know that I can do it, get him on Hagman and Hagman's show. So hopefully I can get Donald Trump on my show and or Hagman's show. If it's going to be either or, I'd rather Hagman do it, because Hagman has a much bigger audience. Because I want people to realize that we have no choice at this point. We have to go with the opposite of Hillary Clinton. And if Donald Trump's talking the talk and walking the walk, and my pastor friend who knows him said he's for real. And last night, I spoke to Mancow. He's also a friend of mine out of Chicago. He's got a big show, their number one hit show in Chicago. He told me that he's considering going ahead and bringing Donald Trump onto his show also. So, and he said he knows Trump very, very well, and he told me that Trump's for real. They actually went to a concert together a few years ago, and he said he is what he is. He's a real guy, and he's the best choice we have. That was from ManCal last night. So what we have to understand is we've got to realize that we've got to try to make sure that we don't have Diebold election fraud the day of the election, and they put that fourth level witch Hillary in the White House. And I mean, gosh, Austin, I mean, it's bad enough that we've got this guy in the White House now, and all of the, and they say that there's actually, I'm not even going to repeat it. It was from Jim Woolley, but I'm not going to repeat it. Oh, one thing that Jim Woolley did say that I thought was pretty good, he said that the reason that Volkswagen, Austin, was attacked and was given that over $10 billion in fines is because they had developed a new carburation and fuel injection system in their vehicles using compressed steam that was being heated by the engine heat itself, and that it was getting the cars up to 200 miles per gallon. And the Globals had told Volkswagen they could not release it, and Volkswagen was going ahead and they were going to release it anyhow, and that's why they got the fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've already talked about it for years. I mean, the entire petroleum industry is just one giant scam. It's all about bringing in trillions and billions of dollars all over the place. I mean, we've had the technology for years and years and years. Shoot, they brought that up on the X-Files the other night, the Tesla technology. This stuff's been around for 60, 70, 80 years. We've known how to have cars and operate without, you know, fossil fuel. It's quite simple. Here's an article I wanted to read you guys. This is about Uber. And I brought this up before a couple months ago. This is the app that you can put on your phone where you basically can hail independent drivers like a taxi service, and then people rate them. I've had a few friends that have used it and had good results. I've never used it, but I heard good things about it. And this completely changed my idea about Uber in a negative light now. Let me tell you what they're doing. Anytime you use Uber, it's generally a smartphone app, and you have either the driver, but usually both individuals have to have smartphones or some form of that in order to communicate and use the app and, you know, hail the cab, get him on there, review, all the stuff. What they're doing now, Uber has been quietly monitoring the movements of drivers that use this in an experimental Texas-based pilot that is attempting to flag dangerous drivers. Now listen to this. Abrupt movements in a smartphone's accelerometer, movement sensors built into all smartphones, can show when a driver accelerates or brakes too quickly, also consistent with driving too close to a car in front or tailgating. Uber did not tell the drivers that their movements are being tracked. The company says it informs users only when it needs to access the data after a company complaint. What they're doing is now they're using it to build a case file on each individual person to rate their driving. What this will turn into, as we've discussed multiple times, we've used this, it continues to get more and more down the road. Every time something this happens, they will use this to start ticketing and fining and charging penalties to people now. Oh, you tailgated this specific amount of times, you're fined this. Oh, you went over this speedometer, this speed limit. They already have the speed cameras up. Which, by the way, I got a great article today on a pretty, so far from what I've read, it's a pretty good way to get out of traffic tickets, including speeding tickets. These are with the cameras, camera violations. Very interesting. So if you're interested in that, I'll put it up on the website. You guys let me know. If not, don't worry about it. But yes, the Uber thing just went a whole other level of invasive Big Brother that I do not support or recommend to anybody now. It has gone way out of hand with that.
I don't know about that, Austin. All I know is I did use Uber a few years ago when Florida State was playing their opening game in Dallas Stadium there where the Cowboys play. I forgot the name of the stadium. It's the biggest stadium I've ever been in, and it was beautiful, a huge jumbotron, and we actually got an Uber vehicle to take us to the airport or to the game, wait for us, and bring us back. And it was nice. It was like an older Lincoln Town car. And the guy was really nice, did a great job for me, and normally it would have cost me probably $250 or wherever I was staying in cab fares, and this guy did it for me for like 70, 80 bucks. So, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I know that Uber's been putting a lot of companies out of business as far as Yellow Cab, et cetera. I think Yellow Cab in San Francisco just filed bankruptcy because basically they're saying one of the biggest factors was Uber. Now, whether that's true, I don't know, but I do know that I've been in some major, major cities around the world, and the cab rides are insanely expensive. Like in London, I think the flag drop in London is like £10. So it's like $15 when the flag drops. If you go one block, it's like $15. If you go two blocks, it's like $30. The most expensive cabs I've ever seen are in London. It's almost ridiculous. So I don't know about Uber, but if they're doing that smartphone technology, awesome. But the truth of the matter is they could be just testing it with Uber to get a benchmark for it so they can turn anybody who has a smartphone into that monitoring service all over the United States, so that way they can give it to the insurance companies and sell the data.
Exactly. And, well, that's the thing, is there's always usually a prototype for something. There's always test trials for stuff. And remember I mentioned a couple months ago, Uber was offering the free vaccines right to your house, or the wellness packs for $10, and they bring you a box of Kleenex and hand sanitizer and a good old hypodermic needle to give you a vaccine if you requested it, so delivered right to your house. So that was another prototype thing that they were working on. What's interesting is you mentioned England. Is I watched that video yesterday of those like 15, you know, just basic Britain Orthodox Christians walking around with some flyers and a couple like 3x3 foot white crosses through downtown, and my goodness, I mean, they were so belittled, screamed, cussed at, hit, yelled at. I mean, every single racial slur, every single cuss word you could imagine, they were thrown at them from all these angry Muslims because they were walking down the street with crosses. That's it. They didn't have megaphones. They didn't have bullhorns. They weren't screaming. They weren't protesting. They were walking down the street with crosses, with crucifixes. That's it. That's all they were doing. And you wouldn't believe some of the hatred that was spewing out of these just Islamic. I mean, it was insane. You told me that video yesterday, and I wanted to watch it. I wanted to understand it. I was absolutely appalled that individuals treat each other like that in Europe for no reason at all. Nothing. I mean, weren't trying to cause a fight, weren't trying to cause a conflict, simply walking down the road where the police had to show up and actually cordon off sections in front of them so they could move because the Islams were getting so heated and building basically person walls around them, they couldn't even move, screaming and yelling at them. It was insane.
Well, you know, it's like George Bush, George W., who I know George. I mean, I've had an extended conversation with him at Southeastern University a few years ago, and I know his father real well, and I know Jeb Bush. I've met him. I met him in Tallahassee. There was a clemency hearing for a friend of mine who was trying to get a felony expunged, and I went up there and would talk to the governor about this gentleman. And so I know all three of the Bushes, which kind of puts me in a kind of a strange, and I guess it kind of makes me kind of unique because I don't know very many people know all three of them. But now I know the older Bush, the George H., very, very well. I did probably 50 or 60 seminars with him, 100 seminars with Ziegler. I did a lot of stuff back in the 90s. And so what's interesting to me about this, Austin, is that these people that are involved in all of this crazy stuff and all of this nonsense and all of this hatred, they know what's going on and what the Muslims are doing. And George W. said, to bring him back into it, he said that Islam was a religion of peace. That's not true. It's not true. Now, the vast majority of the Islamic people are not militant radicals, but when you read the Quran, it is not. I mean, they're allowed to lie to us. I want to tell another story. Years ago, this is back in like 98, 99, I can't remember the exact year. I think Austin was about, 10 years old, 11 years old. We took a cruise ship, which we liked to do when Austin was younger because it was just easier having a kid with us with a cruise ship. And we took it to Egypt, and we had ported in Alexandria. And what happened is we were getting off the ship, and it was about a 4-hour drive to go to the Great Pyramids of Giza. And what happened is we couldn't, and one thing I've learned about Holland America and most of the cruise lines, I'll never use Holland America again. I'll never use another Carnival ship because I've gotten on one of those before when that norovirus had come loose and people are puking running around the hallways. It's awful. But this ship was different. This is still back when Holland had just only been recently taken over by Carnival back in the 90s. And I remember also we got off the ship and I didn't want to pay the $800 a person for the tour to the pyramids on the bus. I mean, it was ridiculous because there were three of us, and I said, I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars for one day, you know, to go to the Great Pyramids, to go to the museum in Cairo. So what we did is I got off the ship, and as soon as I got off the ship, I asked, where are the taxis? And some guy walked up to me, a Muslim gentleman, I thought he was a gentleman, speaking perfect English, and he goes, oh, do you want a limo to take you to the pyramids? And I laughed, and I said, sure, get me a limo. So you remember what he brings up? He brings up a Ford Escort. You remember this, Austin?
Oh yeah,
a blue Ford Escort station wagon. That was the limo, and the air wasn't even cold in it. It was awful, and the temperature was like 120 degrees. And we had another couple go with us, and we all rode down to the pyramids. And he gave me a price of whatever. He told me I couldn't beat the price of anybody else, blah, blah, blah. So he just all is just spewing lies. He's all lying. So we get off the ship, and we can't believe this. And every 20 feet on the ship, about every 20 yards, the ship's 1,000 feet long, there was somebody standing there with either an MP5 machine gun or an AK-47 machine gun. Remember that, Austin?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, lots of guys with AKs.
I mean, all the way down, there was probably 50 of them all the way down the ship, you know, with these
all
guns. All Egyptian military. And I said, what the heck's going on? They said, well, they blew up a bus here a while ago with a bunch of tourists. I'm like, God, what am I doing here? And this is still when it was stable in that country. Now it's unbelievable. And this is before the regime got kicked out. I guess it would have been Gaddafi. What was the guy's? Mubarak, I think. And so that we overthrew their government too. Now it turned into even a worse hellhole than this. And so we're driving. So the guy gets this limousine, which is a Ford Escort station wagon. And I mean, and we drive for 4 hours. We almost got killed by a bus in Cairo. We went to the Egyptian Museum. Couldn't even use a toilet there. You had to bring your own toilet paper. It was just nasty, nasty, nasty. Finally, where there were three guys running around on camels, and they asked if they'd like to take a picture of us in the front of the pyramids. And I said, sure. I said, how much is it? They said, oh, it's a few dollars. And my guide had already told me it's like $15 a person to do that. And so they took us out, and we got out there, Austin. You remember what happened? They got us 2 miles away from the pyramids in the desert. They took the pictures, and they tried to extort us for like $500.
Yep.
And luckily, my stuff was in the limo, so I, you know, with our friends. And so I said, the limo, the Ford Escort station wagon. And so I tell them, I said, well, guys, I said, if you want me to give you money, more money than I brought, I said, we're going to have to go back to the limo. And I got into the limo, and I told the guy, I said, what do you want me to do? And he goes, well, just give him $50. That's what it's supposed to be. And he said, these guys, all they do is lie. He said, it's just a bunch of liars. And I said, I'm a Christian. These guys are Muslims. He said, it's okay for them to lie to you. This is what they do. So I remember I tossed $50 out the windows. They were screaming all kinds of obscenities at us. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. We got abducted and basically camel-jacked by a bunch of Muslims outside of the Great Pyramids. Then we get back to the ship, and the guy tried to massively, massively overcharge me. And I said, good dude, I said, what are you doing? I said, it's not what we agreed upon. Well, yeah, I want you to pay me more money. I said, no. So I got behind the security at the gate on the ship. You remember that, Austin?
Yeah.
And then they actually brought some armed security personnel down there because the guy was like threatening to jihad me and to kill me. It was unbelievable. That was my big trip to Egypt. And I felt like the Jews that had left Egypt, I felt like, thank God I'm out of here. I mean, it was awful. And I thought to myself, dear Lord, these people are not who you think they are. And see, that's what we're bringing in now from Egypt and from Cairo and Morocco and all these different places with all these super, super militant Muslims. We're pouring them into our country and we're pouring them into England. And these guys don't have a hesitation, a lot of them, to pull out a knife or pull out a gun or to jump on an AK-47 because most of these guys are just young military guys and know how to use them. So the truth of the matter is that we are bringing a culture and we're mixing it with our culture into the United States that's not going to be, it's not compatible, son. You can't do that. And the sad part about it is, you know, this is what that one letter that I thought that was attributed to Albert Pike from Morals and Dogma, which I can't verify, said that the Third World War is going to be between the Muslims and the Christians. And they're setting it up, Austin, and they're doing it all to bring in a one world government. What do you think about all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're spot on. And you can see all of it converging now. Like I said, watching that video yesterday was an eye-opener. You know, I knew a lot of the stuff that's going over there, but just to see peaceful Christians walking down the street with crosses and to be just bombarded with the insult and racial slurs towards them and just violent, militant behavior towards them for doing absolutely nothing. I mean, this is like downtown Britain, guys. I mean, on this video, they weren't in Egypt, they weren't in Somalia, they weren't in Libya, they were in downtown Britain, downtown. And then one guy screams and goes, you guys are just mad because we've taken over your country. You'll never get it back. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, as much as I really don't like that, he's probably right because they have 10, 12, 15 kids because they can marry 4, 5, 6 wives. And this is what they do. They completely engulf cultures and take it over and then force everyone to start obeying their laws at basically the expense of your head. If you don't follow it, then they just kill you. really interesting, actually.
Well, and I've said this before, when is the last time you've seen anybody but a radical Muslim militant running around carrying severed heads in a bucket? I mean, you don't see stuff like that. It's ridiculous. Speaking of severed heads, here's a new article that just came out by a really brilliant writer named Alexandra Bruce, and it's called Uploading Brain Maps of the Dead. And it's a video on YouTube. It's called Transcendence. And it says, Level 9 News is back with another hair-raising story entering on research being undertaken due to presidential decree by large tech companies like Google to explore ways to extend human life by hundreds, possibly thousands of years with transhumanism. Humanitech, an LA-based AI company, is looking to take this quest for immortality a step further by transferring the minds and personalities of the dead into artificial neural networks and then downloading these into artificial bodies or synthetic cybernetic humanoid units. It's totally nuts, and it's not a joke, according to Alexandra. Wow. So this whole thing, this technology, this AI that we talked about, we talked about the chemtrails and the Morgellons, this technology is that advanced. This is not of this earth technology. This is stuff that's coming from these fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, these things that are involved in these spaceships that fly around. And this is what's going on. I mean, this thing is so real that as a Christian, you can't ignore that this is happening. You can't ignore that angels and demons are real. And so you've got to find your way to wrap your head around this mess, because there's no way that we went from Wilbur and Orville Wright 110 or 115 years ago to having the type of advanced computer systems we have in 100 years, Austin. That's impossible. It couldn't have happened. And I believe that Tesla was involved with these things also. We know the Germans have the Viril Maidens that were involved with them, and they brought them all this advanced technology. So you've got to read history, and you've got to realize some weird stuff started happening back at the turn of about over 100 years ago, even with Aleister Crowley. And a lot of these things are some things that you need to be aware of as Christians, that the angels and the demons and all of the stuff the Bible talks about, the Bible's not making this stuff up. This stuff is real. We live in a multi-dimensional universe, and these things are around us. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting. This one hit home for just about anybody that actually works and pays taxes and pays Medicare. You know, out of our Medicare now, I think we pay, was it 1.5% or 2% now? Maybe even more than that. Out of every check just goes to Medicare. This is interesting. Government Medicare program now has been recently exposed for reimbursing drug prescriptions for dead people. Reports indicate that the fraudulent system now is currently allowing payments for prescriptions filled up to 32 days after a patient has already died, costing taxpayers millions of dollars a year. A report issued by the Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General found that the policy, which was meant to cover hospitals and care centers that bill for prescriptions in bulk at the end of the month, is being massively abused. Expensive drugs like those for HIV and AIDS, for instance, are often billed even after a patient has died. An investigation of just a partial Medicare claim filled in 2012 found that the program had dispersed drug payments for 158 beneficiaries who had already died, totaling nearly $300,000 that disappeared. In many cases, the prescriptions filled on behalf of these patients were for HIV or AIDS drugs, even though the patients that died did not have an HIV or AIDS diagnosis. Since it was created in 2006, Medicare Part D, which delivers drugs through private insurance plans, has been a major source of government waste and fraud. It's estimated that $85 billion a year is spent on this program, with a significant portion of which is going to reimburse fraudulent claims. And it's funny because they bring this up in the article where's it at here? The Obama administration's Medicare chief, Marilyn Tavern, who responded to it, who says, we need to revisit the industry's 32-day window, which clearly undermines the integrity of the entire program. So we need to look at this and figure out exactly how it needs to be changed. But what's funny is nothing's been done now. Nothing was done before to prevent it. It's just another loophole for pharmaceutical companies to completely and totally, basically, rape the American taxpayer for more money that you don't even see. These guys are dead, and they're still getting billed Medicare payments. I mean, it's insane.
Speaking of health and nutrition, the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. I don't want to forget to give our website again, Austin. HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com. Go to our newsletter. Sign up for our free newsletter. We're going to talk to you about health, nutrition, how to maintain healthy blood pressure, natural treatment protocols to increase your energy levels. We'll talk about natural protocols that are actually more effective than Prozac and Zoloft as far as for different types of mood disorders. There's all kinds of stuff that I've written about you guys can read about and research on my website and actually get articles on it and actually be able to transfer it and email it to your friends. Because here's what you have to realize, guys. You know, we're all in this together, and I thank you for your support. We thank you for supporting Health Masters. We thank you for getting your supplements from us. We appreciate you. And, you know, it's just we appreciate you. And if it wasn't for you guys and supporting Health Masters and Health Masters paying for this show, we wouldn't be here every day. And this audience would be growing like crazy. So just thank you. HealthMasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. That's 1-800-726-1834. Here's another article. This is another one by Salerno. Chicago economist is now calling the Fed a cancer. Recent and rapid surge of anti-Federal Reserve sentiment is now intellectually respectable. This is from the In Case You Missed It files. Thomas Sowell, my favorite Chicago economist, was a longtime supporter of the Federal Reserve, bound by the Friedmanite monetary rule. He has now called the Fed a cancer and advocated its abolition. It is no exaggeration to suggest that Sewell's conversion to the anti-Fed view and that a number of economists since reflects Murray Rothbard's ongoing influence by way of Ron Paul. The fact that the recent and rapid surge of anti-Fed sentiment is now intellectually respectable even among economists inverts the intellectual structure of production model upheld by many libertarians. See, what you have to realize is the Federal Reserve System is a debt-based economy. In other words, you cannot put more money into the currency, into production and into distribution without borrowing it from the central bank. The central bank is not owned by the United States people or by the United States government. It is a private Rothschild corporation. And what they do is they loan you money at interest, but they never put the interest into circulation. So even if you give them the principal back, the interest was never printed, so it cannot be paid back. That's why they constantly shoot for a 4%, 5%, or 6% inflation every single year of the currency, which reduces the purchasing power, because that allows them to continually indebt you further and further and further and further. That's why the Keynesians believe that you have to have a monetary system that's continually growing in order to have growth in the economy, because they are in support of the Rothschild banking cartel. When I was in graduate school back in the 70s, and I graduated in 1980 from Florida State with my MBA, they had no other teaching besides Keynesian economics. And the Federal Reserve nonsense wasn't even being taught as far as who the Fed was and what they did, because nobody really wanted to talk about it, because anybody who started looking at it realized it was a giant Ponzi scheme, which is still doing it, which is still going on today. That's why the entire world now has about had enough of this Rothschild banking cartel, who now pretty much owns all of us as their debt slaves. The sad part about it is that as soon as people start discovering who they are, they immediately take us to war with their proxy military, also called the United States military, which is really kind of sad. What's your next story, Oz?
This one is basically like flat out the Twilight Zone. I had to read it twice because I couldn't believe this is going on. I know all of you, all of our listeners, I know you have, Dad, you've seen some of the video clips from the undercover guys that were trying to expose Planned Parenthood for their abortion techniques and them selling baby parts. I mean, some really, really sick stuff. A lot of those videos had surfaced. And what's crazy now is the grand jury that was investigating the accusations of misconduct against Planned Parenthood has now dropped that and instead to indict both of the two abortion opponents who made the undercover videos. On Monday, which was yesterday, the Harris County District Attorney, Devin Anderson, said in a statement that the grand jurors had cleared Planned Parenthood of any wrongdoings. However, the anti-abortion group that made secretly recorded videos purporting to show Planned Parenthood officials trying to illegally profit from the sale of fetal tissue had been indicted on charges, listen to this, of tampering with a governmental record, a felony, and on misdemeanor charges related to purchasing human organs. This doesn't even make stupid sense. They got them on camera saying that they're willing to sell specific baby parts for specific amounts of money. They have now dropped all charges against Planned Parenthood, and Mr. Dallenden, which was the main guy that did the video shooting and was the leader of the anti-abortion group, went on record and said the Center for Medical Progress uses the exact same undercover techniques that investigative journals have used for decades in exercising our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and press, and we followed all applicable laws. We respect the processes of the Harris County District Attorney and note, and we note, that buying fetal tissue requires a seller as well in order for us to be charged for trying to purchase. Planned Parenthood still cannot deny the admissions from their leadership about fetal organ cells captured on video for all around the world to see. Nevertheless, all charges have been dropped against Planned Parenthood, and these two individuals now have been indicted for basically shooting these videos. The one charge that they said in the beginning that there was for tampering with a governmental record is because they made fake IDs from California driver's licenses with different names on them to show the Planned Parenthood individuals that they were meeting with so they did not know their real names or identities. That's all they did, and now they're being charged with a felony for that and a misdemeanor for trying to buy human parts. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's literally like the Twilight Zone, the fact that it's doesn't matter what the videos show. Doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what everybody knows. It doesn't matter. We're charging these guys and indicting them because they went undercover and got this information in an illegal manner, so they claim. I don't even know what else to say about it, man. It's
well, I'm surprised they didn't get them on wiretapping, too. The thing about it is that they were the people in the anti-abortion, anti-human baby parts selling program are so desperate to stop this that they're willing to do things like this in order to get evidence against these people to show the world who they are. But remember, the eugenics protocol was started in the United States primarily on the West Coast back in the late 1800s through Darwin. And what ended up happening is the Darwinians, these people that were believing that, you know, you have to destroy the lesser people, they got a hold of the government even back then and started having these centers that would actually sterilize human beings here in the United States. This was picked up by the Germans. The Nazis, not the Germans, the Nazis who decided that they were going to go ahead and carry it forward through Margaret Sanger's teachings, and they developed the eugenics protocol, including mass sterilization of people in concentration camps using fluoride, et cetera, et cetera. Now, these Nazis that did all this, these were really bad people, and they were trained to do all of this crazy stuff, including the experiments they did in these concentration camps. And then through Operation Paperclip, they continued they brought these Nazi doctors in from these eugenics centers, these concentration camps, and they carried right that Nazi concentration camp literature and research was carried right into MK Ultra in the United States. So we sat there and said how bad the Nazis were, and then we brought them in to the United States, some 36,000 of them through Operation Paperclip, and they infiltrated the entire government, which has now been infiltrated through these folks that are fascists and who are also eugenicists. In other words, they don't really believe in the sanctity of human life. And on top of that, these Nazis, if you read Jim Marr's book, The Fourth Reich, they actually came in and they decided to take this literally trillions and trillions of dollars in today's net worth of all the countries they had ransacked in Europe, and they bought up a lot of the Fortune 500 corporations globally, and they transferred all of this money offshore through the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, and they were able to buy huge corporations and large controlling interests of corporations, so that when the Nazis started seeing that the war was going bad in 41 and 42, a lot of these Nazis in 43 and 44 started leaving Germany and taking their corporate directorships and their money and starting they left Germany into the United States, into Argentina, and other countries around the world with new identities, and they're running everything still. So it doesn't surprise me at all, Austin, though it seems like it's the Twilight Zone, that these people that are these eugenicists who traffic in human body parts and baby parts turn the entire thing around because the courts are so corrupt and make it the problem now of the people who got this information, and they're probably going to go to jail, son. They're probably going to do jail time unless people go in and march on the courtroom, you know, in a peaceful manner and protest and hopefully they'll be getting probation, but they're probably going to end up as convicted felons from this, son. And the problem is they were trying to save babies, and heaven forbid you save a human baby. I mean, you got to save the human seals. Oh, that's right. We don't save human seals or baby seals anymore either. We poison them with Fukushima radiation. Again, every single thing that the government is doing is being turned upside down by this fascist corporate technocracy, kleptocracy that's taking over the planet. And that's what's going on. And so, no, it does sound like a Twilight Zone, unless you know what's going on, and it's just same old, same old. Here's another article. Sprint fires 2,500 people, 8% of its entire workforce. But of course, Obama tells us the economy is doing great. Zero Hedge, according to Kansas City Star, layoffs and cutbacks at the Sprint Corporation have claimed at least 2,500 jobs and struck six customer care centers, company officials confirmed. I mean, this just news just keeps coming and coming and coming. I want to read you this other article, too. This is a little different. Ecuador is going to sell off a third of its Amazon rainforest to Chinese oil companies, which will come in, and of course, they'll destroy the rainforest. Ecuador is planning to auction off 3 million of the country's 8.1 million hectares of pristine Amazon rainforest to Chinese oil companies. I mean, this is just stuff. You can't make this stuff up. It's crazy. Here's another one. Wives with benefits. Immigrants with more than one spouse with extra payments under new reforms. This is from Breitbart. Polygamous marriages, which form a common thread in Islam, are now recognized in Britain, but only if they take place in countries where they are legal. Now, a House of Commons library paper published earlier this month has highlighted a loophole that will allow additional wives coming to the UK to claim full single person's allowances while the husband and his first wife still receive their respective benefits. Final story I want to cover today. Well, we got a couple more. You got a couple more too. Top psychiatrist is now saying that Angela Merkel is having a mental breakdown. When you're demon possessed, you have a tendency to have mental breakdowns. Remember, this woman was raised in East Germany as a communist. She hates everything good as far as I'm concerned, or she would never be going with George Soros now, who's also a communist, to do what she's doing to destroy Europe. This is from John Paul Joseph Watson, top psychiatrist and best-selling author Hans Mast says that Angela Merkel's refusal to reverse her completely irrational policy on accepting immigrants is evidence that the German chancellor is undergoing a mental breakdown. No, she's not. She's demon-possessed, as far as I'm concerned, who is noted for his work studying the psychological impact of the government repression on the population of the former East Germany. Told Huffington Post Germany that Merkel's emotional decision to open the country borders to flood of refugees was an expression of her own rampant narcissism. No, it's not. She's demon-possessed. According to Mast, Merkel, being dubbed the most powerful woman in the world, and has left her incapable of handling criticism and prone to hubris. That's true, because she's demon-possessed. With the psychiatrist adding that the German leader has lost touch with reality. You have a tendency to lose touch with reality when you're demon-possessed. This lady is nuts. She needs to be tried for treason, Austin, taken out back, and she's convicted of treason. They need to hang her like they hung all those guys from the Nuremberg trials and be done with this mess. This is insanity, what is going on in Germany and the destruction of the culture and the fabric of the European continent. It's unbelievable, son. What's your next story?
Yeah, it's horrific. I mean, that's why we brought it up so many times. Even when you were over there, it's what you said. You can't find any Europeans anymore over there. They're all Middle Eastern everywhere you go. And like I said, and she's bringing them in further and further. And it's doing exactly what they wanted to do. Next article. This is interesting. France, Germany, and Spain. Remember, they filed a lawsuit against Monsanto last year because the company tried to patent a non-GMO tomato because they said that they helped to make it resistant to a common fungal disease. However, the tomato naturally is already resistant to this disease, but Monsanto decided they were going to try and patent it anyways. So that got squashed. Now the European Patent Office is revoking another patent Monsanto has held on non-GMO melons. Monsanto is claiming they developed a melon that is resistant to plant viruses. However, this specific melon fruit has had these qualities naturally and has been detected in Indian melons for centuries. The patent was granted previously by the European Patent Office and is now being revoked. Many plants have qualities that make them resistant to disease, then Mother Nature equips many varieties with healthy immune systems that fend very well for themselves naturally. What's funny is, I mean, we know Monsanto's continually tried to take over food production, seed production. There's even been reports of them buying up heirloom seed companies just so they can control the natural seed and food supply. The Indian government as well now has already written Monsanto and basically revoked their Monsanto melon patent as more information is coming out. These guys just think they own everything. Next, they're going to say they came out with a patented air, but it got dispersed in the atmosphere, so everybody's breathing in their patented air, and we have to pay them to breathe their patented air. I mean, it's so loopy. These guys just live on another planet. They really think that they just own, make, distribute, control everything. I mean, making their own non-GMO patent on a melon that they didn't do anything to, but now they own the patent of melons. It's almost a joke. They're really ridiculous. It's completely out of control.
The sad part about it is this is what they believe.
I know.
They really believe this. The final one, I love this one. This is from Deutsche Welle. It says, Arab monarchies are now turning down Syrian refugees over security threat. While Turkey, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, and Egypt have taken in around 5 million refugees and boatloads of destitute are making their way into Europe, about 8 million, the Gulf states have taken only a few hundred refugees, according to data from the U.S. Refugees Agency. In part, the low numbers are due to a technically, as the Gulf states are non-signers to the 1951 U.N. Refugee Convention, the governing international convention on refugees and rights. The Saudis refer to them as Arab brothers and sisters in distress. They prefer to share their responsibility with financial donations, which now they're broke. Meeten Cordabar, who served for 18 years as the spokesperson of the UNHCR and is currently president of the Research Center on Asylum and Migration in Arca, told DW, the Saudis worry that the Syrians are a security threat. Duh. Saudis call
that.
They said they have ideas of revolution. Really? You got to watch them just completely harass those people walking through downtown London with a cross. With a cross, for heaven's sakes. But remember, this is not a religion of peace. Christianity is a religion of peace. It is. We're taught to love one another, forgive one another, and walk in love. And just be nice. Just be nice. And the problem is these other religions are not taught this. They're not taught this at all because they don't have Jesus Christ as their mentor, as their Lord, as their Savior, as their God, because they don't care. And when you talk to them about this, they just get angry. And sadly, this is what's happening all over the world, Austin. I mean, you guys need to watch that video about, you know, the Christians walk through London with a white cross. You can pull it up on YouTube. It will blow your mind. The physical and mental and spiritual and verbal abuse they took, and the police did nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Don't say
it. It's insane. I mean, you can actually, I mean, you can feel the hatred in that video. You can see how angry they are. I mean, it's ridiculous. Unless, like I said yesterday, too, when's the last time you need to tell a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or anybody that it's not okay to defecate in swimming pools? When did that become something you have to tell people it's not okay?
Well, they know it's not okay. They do it as a sign of, we hate you, we want to destroy you, and I'm going to show you how I feel about you. That's why they do that. And it's sad, but you're absolutely right. You don't see other religions doing stuff like that. I mean, because it's so just repulsive. But guys, we love you. You know we do. I appreciate you guys listening. Sorry the show is only an hour. We'll probably be able to fix that in a little while, get a little bit longer. But we appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. Talk to you guys tomorrow.